Floyd's afraid of a fight. Floyd doesn't want a fight. Floyd wants a boxing match. And I've already said, no problem. Get my money. And when you get my money, then we can box in this boxing match under these set of specific rules that will keep you alive.
Yeah, 12:40 a.m. Yes. WSBC. Welcome to another week of fun shenanigans, horsing around,
horsing off. Yep.
Just a whole lot of ballyhoo. This is the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yeah,
my name
correct.
Is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, is my twin brother Bill Houlihan.
Hi, Pat.
And our great friend Clayton O'Brien. Clay.
It's me. You came in kind of hot there.
Yeah, you got to come in hot sometimes.
We're energetic tonight.
We're like,
are we? We're excited.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Right into it, man.
A lot going on.
As soon as the music kicked in, you were, you know, ready.
I was. Conor McGregor is going to fight Floyd Mayweather.
He was kind enough to do the opening for us.
I know.
Yeah, thanks, Conor.
Yeah, that's going to be a circus.
Got the money, didn't he?
Yeah. It's going down.
What's the date? Did we pull up the date
today? It's August 26th.
All right.
Yeah.
And where are they going to fight?
That's how it was leaked out, because of the Mayweather camp booked the MGM Grand for August 26th for a boxing event. So someone at MGM leaked it out, and that's how everyone knew it instantly.
We got to go.
Oh, man. That would be an expensive trip.
Maybe.
You're not going to get anywhere close to that.
Maybe we can
that building.
We might be able. We could call the McGregor camp and say that we would like press passes as
Let's go through the Conlins to get it.
Top Rank, we're going to call Bob Arum again. Say, yeah. Bob, I know that you represent Mayweather. Is Mayweather still with Top Rank?
I think he's Mayweather. He's Mayweather. He has his own promotions now.
No, Mayweather's Mayweather.
Mayweather is with Mayweather.
Mayweather Promotions. I think they're the ones even putting this fight on.
They are.
He started his career with Top Rank, I believe.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, so, wow. There's a lot of smack talking immediately on social media right away.
I don't know what to expect from this. Is it going to be, you know, them chasing each other around for 8 rounds and a lot of hugging and all that? Or is it going to be like a brawl fest, or someone to get knocked out?
Well, they're both going to amp it up. They're both going to play the show. They're both going to collect their money. And then when they're going to go to the ring, they're going to make sure that neither of them get injured or kill themselves in the middle of this.
You think?
Complete
circus.
Or
is it going to be just,
if it was pure
slug
violence,
I wish it was slug fest.
Like, this came out throwing.
Like Gotti Ward style.
Yeah, right.
That would be amazing.
It would be. And then they do it 3 times.
Now, here's the thing. Do you really think that Conor McGregor is going to be able to box this guy?
I don't know. But the MMA is no joke.
No, it's not a joke, but it's not like he's going to be able to just run up to Mayweather and, like, kick him in the sternum and, you know.
There's that thing in the
DDT him to the ground.
He's knocked out the best MMA people in the world with one punch.
Guys, Mike is showing me a thing.
And no gloves on.
In the USA Today, it says Conor McGregor is contractually forbidden from kicking Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, that's in the contract, right? Floyd's like, you throw a kick at me, you're instantly disqualified.
Well, that's the thing.
It would be great if that was the fight. If all of a sudden the bell rung and then just Mayweather just stomp kicked him in the chest and they just blew the whistle and we're like, that's the end of the fight.
Disqualified.
And he's like, I told you I'd win.
Everyone go home.
Right.
It would be that would be something that I wouldn't be surprised at. Like,
well, they got what they wanted in that no one has any idea what to expect. So it's complete, you know, people who aren't even into boxing or MMA are going to watch it just because everyone's talking about it.
It's the greatest fighting event of the century so far, right?
It might be. I mean,
it's up there, man. I mean, here's the thing. If he beats Mayweather,
it'd be like if Ali fought Hulk Hogan or
that's
something.
Except that, yeah, right? I was thinking about that. I was kind of thinking about that a little bit.
Ali versus Hogan.
Ali versus The Undertaker.
Coming at you at WrestleMania time. No, you couldn't do WrestleMania.
No, but
Vince McMahon's probably just shaking his head at all this right now. Like, how did I not get into the action on this?
He's a creep.
Well, actually, one of them will be in that. McGregor will go, he'll do something here, and then Vince McMahon will
call. And then he'll make a movie.
Yeah, he'll make him. He's destined
like John Cena.
Yeah, he'll be the transporter 12.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be like, I don't if you turned Conor McGregor into a movie star, which I'm sure there is a Hollywood producer somewhere in the cosmos that's thinking of doing this, right?
Right.
The McGregor camp, I'm sure, has been contacted about it.
I think he's been contacted by Game of Thrones to be like a, that sort of thing.
Right, where he's like quiet, you know?
No, where he's like a warrior, medieval psycho.
Linky, the warrior. Something like that, you know?
Which I could see.
Why did I call him Linky?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a weird
That's
name.
That's not a real tough
what
name.
What do we call the guy? Call him Linky.
We're going to write
Sounds like a medieval name, right? Linky? He was assassinated by Linky.
Linky no, the like, warrior.
Angus.
Yeah, that's used too common, though. There's too many Anguses. Huh?
You know?
There's not a lot of Linkies.
There's not enough Anguses.
Not enough Anguses in the world.
Well,
sounds like a Burger King sling. Not enough Angus.
Even if we don't go, we should have a get together and watch it.
Oh, you're gonna have a party for this.
Everyone's gonna have a party for it. I was getting back to this though. McGregor, what kind of movie star is he? He's not Game of Thrones. He's got a lot
he's
of
Jason
comedy.
Statham.
He's too Statham-ish.
No, he's too funny. He's too funny. His comic timing is too good. It's like he's got to be.
He's Stifler. He's Irish Stifler.
Irish Stifler. Very good. He's gonna do American Pie 12.
Conor McGregor in America.
I'm like Irish Stifler.
I'm better than Irish Stifler. I don't know. He's an action hero with a really witty. He's Fletch.
That is something that
he's Fletch.
He's Fletch.
Conor McGregor and Fletch.
We're doing
four.
A Fletch reboot starring Conor McGregor
and the original Gummy.
The original Gummy.
That actor who played the original Gummy?
Bear.
Yeah.
George Wentz, he's coming back as Fat Sam.
George Wentz wore a beret in that movie.
Yeah. He did.
God bless him.
We should call George sometime.
God bless the Wentz this holiday season.
Yeah, this summer holiday season.
You going to the Wentz?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for this fight. I'm really excited.
I am too.
I'm glad that it's like soon, too. It's not like in December.
Yeah, they got right to it.
Well, right
to
it.
They've been talking about it for what, better part of a year? No, not even, right? Maybe 8 months.
Yeah, probably around there, yeah. Sure.
Bill, you just got a text message. It's not from Conor McGregor, is it?
No, it was an update that I get. I get MLB updates.
Who's winning? Who's winning the game tonight, Bill?
Who's winning the big game?
The White Sox winning?
I don't know. Apparently, Anthony Rizzo predicted that he was going to hit another home run.
Frank Rizzo?
A second leadoff home run tonight, and he did.
Really? And, so he's
quoted by telling his teammates, apparently, I told you before the game. Okay, cool.
He's Babe Ruth now?
What is
I
he?
Don't know. The is Cubs he? Made a change with him and made him the leadoff hitter the last two nights because
they're slumping.
They're slumping, and then all of a sudden their bats have exploded.
They won't win the World Series.
No.
No chance.
Clay's going right back at it from his prediction of last year. Well, I know that somebody who wants him to win the World Series very desperately was just inducted to the Irish American Hall of Fame. It was big news here in Chicago.
Who's that?
Comedian and actor and movie star Bill Murray made an appearance over the weekend. The Irish American Heritage Center. And he was joined with his brothers, Andy and John, and Joel. And a whole camp of Murrays showed up. He was inducted by he had Tom Ricketts induct him.
You know who else was inducted?
They're very good buddies, like apparently, yeah.
Like new friends?
Sure, they're new friends. I mean, Bill Murray is very good for the Cubs organization, obviously, and I'm sure when he calls up and says, hey, I'd like to sit in a box, the Ricketts family obliges and says, sure, that's a great TV app. We're going to get a lot of press out of that. Why not?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What do you think about Bill Murray, Bill?
I don't know. I mean,
does your respect for him get a little bit kind of varnished?
No, because he's always been a Cub fan.
I know.
I mean,
but
he's always had that allegiance, so that doesn't really bother me. I mean, I love his work.
Are you kidding me? I've been a giant Bill Murray fan my entire life.
Yeah, everyone has.
Yeah.
He was like my comedy hero growing up. I watched Ghostbusters about 1,000 times, mainly because of the fact that because he was an Irish Catholic and he was from Chicagoland area.
Correct.
And he kind of gave you the idea that, like, it's possible to become a movie star, right?
Or
like,
sure.
This is, it's not, like, it can happen to you. And that was one of the things, I think that's, I showed up at Second City wanting to be the next Bill Murray, as I'm sure everybody, 90% of the white Irish American population that shows up there wanted to be.
Too bad it wasn't 1973.
Right? You know, I could have been smuggling some grass into O'Hare Airport, growing a long beard and hair and acting kind of wild.
Exactly.
But yeah, my favorite Bill Murray movie is a movie called Meatballs.
Mine too.
It's an Ivan Reitman film. It's Bill Murray's, I want to say it's his first or second movie. I think it's his first film.
Okay.
But that's my favorite. It's about going to summer camp.
I would have to say Ghostbusters is mine.
Your quintessential Bill Murray.
I'm not a huge Caddyshack guy just because everyone like loves it so much that it's ruined.
But you know, I would agree with that. Scrooged is a great film.
Yeah.
Scrooge is good. I actually love him in Royal Tenenbaums.
So do I. Raleigh St. Clair.
Great character.
Yep. He's kind of a melancholy guy in that.
Groundhog Day is great.
Always reminded me of my friend Tim Burke, Mr. Burke, as Raleigh St. Clair.
Tim Burke.
He's in Rushmore. Come on.
Fantastic.
Rushmore, that might be my favorite character of his.
Mm-hmm. Remember the two gawky twin brothers in Rushmore where Bill Murray's their dad and he's kind of slapping them around in the back seat?
Yeah, it's my favorite scene.
Anyway, big congratulations to Bill Murray.
You know who else we need to congratulate? Mr. Robert Flood. Bob Flood got into Irish American Hall of Fame this weekend. Is he a cousin of yours?
He is.
He's also a very big sponsor of the show. He's been our most loyal sponsor since the beginning.
Yeah,
we love you, Bob.
We do love you, Bob. Congrats. And all the Floods were out there as well. My mom and dad got a chance to sit at their table and said it was really, really wonderful experience to watch the Floods get in. And Bob,
they're good people, the Floods.
They're really good people. You got garbage issues, you call the Floods.
You got garbage, period.
Garbage, call the Floods.
They'll take it away.
Yeah.
Someday, all of you listening can enter and be inducted into the Irish American Hall of Fame, but the only way to do it is by eating a hearty bowl of McCann's oatmeal every morning.
Yeah, you have
tons of it.
Brings you knowledge, great skin, strength,
balance,
movie star mojo. You get everything. This show is sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We'll be back with Bill Murray's acceptance speech from the Irish American Hall of Fame after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. They're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at Flood Brothers Disposal.
That's Hall of Famer Bob Flood that we're speaking of. He was just inducted to the Irish American Hall of Fame over the past weekend here. That was last week.
That's right.
Last Saturday night. Big congrats to him.
Yep.
One of the other big honorary guests and inductees was movie star Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I thought the radio listening audience here would be interested in hearing what Bill had to say. Here's a little snippet from his acceptance speech.
First of all, I have no real problem with the Chicago White Sox. Except for those few times a year when they have the nerve to challenge the Chicago Cubs. And there are, I'd like to just say, how about how good these Ricketts kids turned out, huh?
Yeah!
There they were, stranded, you know, in the middle of nowhere out there in Nebraska. And they all had the courage and the fortitude to fight their way to Chicago. Couldn't be happier for the choices you've made. And the whole family, the Ricketts, have done a really nice job. And I just want to say, there's a picture on the screen. I think you all see it. You know what it looks like. You know what the river looks like on the 17th of March. And there's only one time when that green river would ever genuflect, and that was to the one time when it was dyed blue this year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, I when I get around this many Irish people, all I can think is, oh God, we have homework. And I haven't done it. I have not prepared a single thing at all. And I started calling people going, hey, I gotta talk tonight. I don't know what the hell this thing is at all. I have no idea. And they're like, you're gonna be fine. You're usually fine. And so one said, well, you could try the old Irish Alzheimer's joke, you know. You know, the Irishman gets Alzheimer's, forgets everything but his grudges. I'm going to let that go. So I had, but I knew that what would happen tonight and what has truly happened is that there has been a flood of impressions. Oh, I'm sorry. No. That's not how I work. That was a coincidence. But there really has been a flood of impressions. It's the only way to describe it. To see all these connections that are made here, you know, when, you know, the professor talks or, you know, someone, there's so many connections. Your families and our families are connected in so many ways. You know, I think about Audie Murphy, you know, I'll go backwards. My remarks will wander a bit. Some of you might, you're my favorite too, by the way. You are my favorite. I was hoping when I saw you, she better be up there when I'm up there. It's not going to be a great night for me. It's not going to be great. But maybe you guys want to get a lounge here, because I'm going to go on and on, Tom. I happen to have a pair of Chicago Cubs reading glasses. Where the hell you find these things? But I want to start from the beginning. So, gentlemen, take your jackets off. Ladies, unhook anything. Our eldest ancestors came over on the boat, husband and wife, and of course, she was pregnant. So because she was pregnant, Mrs. Doyle was incarcerated, or held over, as they say, in Ellis Island until the baby could be born and found to be okay and healthy and everything. That took about 6 to 7 weeks. At which time she came ashore, and she was separated from her husband, who went someplace downtown. And not only, by the time she found old man Doyle, she had not only found an apartment, got a job, and paid off the bill at Ellis Island. She paid for the apartment before she found him in the street. And she really found him in the street too. It was corned beef on rye all over his face and neck for many days. So that's how I got here. And then From there, it goes to my father, who in 1960 took me over to OLPH. How many of you ever come in late and asked for OLPH? In Glenview. And there was a guy from Massachusetts who was speaking there, and the place was very crowded inside the church at OLPH, much more crowded than for the high mass ever. And we stood outside and listened to John F. Kennedy speak through these speakers outside. And when John F. Kennedy came out, my father, to this day, for many years I didn't understand, but he just pushed me all the way through all these people, through the Secret Service, and pushed me right into the man who would be the President of the United States. That was our dad who did that. So, I'm sorry to his family. I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on. And I want to thank Brian O'Brien for so many things. My father also. My name is William James Murray. I mean, named after my uncle. Hey, I came a long ways. I was in Slovenia 2 days ago. I'm tired. I'm named William James Murray after my uncle Bill, who used to give me a dollar every time he saw me, which wasn't that often. That's why it took a while to amass the kind of money that I got now. And my middle name is James after my father's great friend Jimmy O'Donnell, who my father carried to school when Jimmy O'Donnell broke his leg. He carried him to school, and when my father died, he said, "I'm very happy to return the favor and carry your dad." My grandfather was a funny man, probably the real source of my humor. He had licorice in his pockets, and he was a very funny man. Actually, he would pop out his lower false teeth at all the grandchildren and just frighten the hell out of them, just terrify them, and say about my grandmother out of range, "You old bitch, you can't hear me." She always acted like she couldn't hear him. But he was he had a good career as a businessman, and then because he was lively and he lived to be very old, he got a job working at the funeral home down in St. Gertrude's Parish. He didn't really have a job, but he would go to the funerals, the wakes of people who had no real mourners. So he would be there and talk with the widow or the grieving one as if he were their friend. And he had that kind of gift, that kind of grace, that he could step in. And that's what I see of all the people that are spoken about here tonight. There's a grace that falls on us. And you're taught to catch it, you're told to catch it, but it's up to you to catch it. Who we are and where we came from. We all came from, our ancestors came from across the sea, and we're all fertilized by all the bodies and the lives of those black and white photographs that we saw on the screen. And the ones that are being mentioned tonight are people who are fortunate enough to get the sort of high-grade compost of this great culture, this great heritage that we all inherit. I'm happy to share it with my brothers and sisters and with all of you. I'm very honored to be here tonight, and I look forward to being an Irish man for the rest of my life.
All right, there you have it. Bill Murray giving
nice
his
jab
acceptance speech.
Yeah, pretty good.
I wanted to play the whole thing.
Yeah.
I could have played a snippet or two, but I thought to get the whole, you got to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch him give that speech. Obviously, that's not scripted, you know? I don't think that Bill all of a sudden woke up and went, "I'm getting into the Irish American Hall of Fame. I better write this long script."
He probably didn't even know.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's very rare that you see Bill Murray get poignant like that. He's usually always on, especially in a setting of that we see him on, right, when the lights and cameras and he's on TV and things of that nature. But it's interesting to watch him. I truly think that he was touched a little bit about getting in.
Sure.
I don't think he wouldn't, you know, this is a guy, he makes a joke that he's in Slovenia the other day, right?
Yeah.
He is. I mean, there's all those Bill Murray folklore stories about him sneaking up behind people on the street and saying, you know, "Do you know these stories, Clay? Have you heard about this? Like, no one will ever believe that this happened." He does that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Shows up at people's barbecues unannounced and parties like that. And he likes to create this mythic sort of folklore around his existence.
Yeah.
So that when you actually do see him in a human, it's almost, he's humanized. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, it was interesting to watch that. So I like that. I was interested in that.
Yeah. You
know? I like that. I'm into it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're into
it.
You know
I
what?
Hope the rest of the audience appreciated Bill's talk. And
The Human Touch by Patty Hulahan.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's my first book.
Your first album.
He wrote a New York Times bestseller called The Human Touch.
About the sentimentality of Bill Murray.
About the sentimentality of Bill Murray.
Wow.
The sentimentality.
The sentimentality of Bill Murray. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to him.
Sure.
Bill. Yeah, lose all the Cubs talk, all right?
I know.
We're over it.
I'd like to have Bill on the show. He probably would never do our show, first and foremost. But
you got two guys wearing socks. I'm wearing a Sox jersey, and he's wearing a Sox hat.
That will see. Yeah. I think the only way you get Bill Murray to do things is to antagonize him, you know, and to get him to show
Bring
up.
Bring him in. Yeah. I'll put him in a headlock.
Bill, if you're listening, Clay would like to get you in a headlock.
Yeah, I would.
Dr. Peter Venkman.
Yeah, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to chat with Dr. Peter Venkman.
I just want to hear some William Atherton stories. Maybe he's got some good Atherton stories.
Absolutely.
And I say, Bill, I really admire you, but you know who I love is that Walter Peck from Ghostbusters? Bill Atherton?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the audience is like, listening, is like, who? Why do they keep talking about this Atherton character?
That was three episodes.
It comes first full circle,
I think
though.
That was three episodes ago.
Yeah.
That was prepped for Bill's, you know?
Yeah.
Induction.
Right. I would have been great if Bill Murray had said, the only reason I'm here is because of Atherton, you know? he's German or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Bill's worked hard at it, though, for a long time, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to that ceremony. I went to a wedding in Michigan.
I didn't even know about it until Dad called me on Saturday and said, hey, are you headed up to, me and your mother are headed up to the Irish American Hall of Fame dinner. And I was like, what? And it's like, yeah, Bill Murray's going in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. It should be fun.
Yep.
That's about all I heard from him. About
Thanks, Bill, for the recap.
Where were you? Ann Arbor?
No, I was in, what the heck town is that? Excuse me, I just burped. I just had a Red Bull and Papa John's pizza burp.
Whoa.
It was very disgusting. It was quite disgusting. I was in St. Joe, Michigan, right outside, you know, that Benton Harbor area.
I know where it's at.
Yeah.
Sure. Went up to Lindsay Stupar, and now her name is Lindsay Rogers. Lindsay and Tyler Rogers had a wedding.
Sweet.
Yeah. Married at a little barn, very nice, called Mill Creek.
Old Mill Creek Barn.
Got married at the old Mill Creek Barn up in that St. Joe, didn't you? I can tell by the gleam in your eye.
Had my first Zima at the old Mill Creek Barn.
Zima. Making a comeback,
I know
man.
All about it.
I saw a display of, like, 100 cases at Jewel the other day.
You can
like,
literally
what?
Slug those things like they're water.
It says limited release.
Oh, it's great.
Are they carbonated, the Zima?
Yeah, it's
liquor?
Like Sprite. It's like it tastes exactly like Sprite. Almost.
No, I can't. Does it?
It's pretty similar.
Bill, have you had a swig off of Zima lately?
There was a group text message going on today about Zima, and I was like, I got to get a 6-pack. I got to try it out.
I used to drink them like they were water. 20, 30 of them.
I'd only
before an 8th grade basketball game, just pound like 10 Zimas.
Hey.
That's the thing. It was all before the age of 15.
I used to drink like 20, 30 of those.
When did they go out of business?
It's malt liquor, isn't it?
Probably in like 2000.
No, it's a citrus beverage that has alcohol in it. I guess that's the best way I could describe it. I don't know. That's not
it's
really.
It's a lemon lime.
It's like a spritzer. Yeah.
Alcohol thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're everywhere.
It's
why
alcoholic
is it having,
Sprite.
Do you know why it's having this reboot all of a sudden? It's like a reboot.
I think it's because there's...
It looks exactly the same. It's like they re-released Marlboros 15 years later after they didn't work.
They just opened up a storage locker.
It's like, hey,
stuff sitting in there. Like, throw it back in the
shelf. Let's get it out in production.
Well, are we going to see Pepsi Clear again in 10 years? Where all of a sudden they go, you know what? Let's try the Clear again. Maybe it'll work this time around.
You're going to see it in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the 90s is real big right now. Everything's reverting back. Kind of.
Right. Everything... So when we were growing up, we would watch Dazed and Confused, and we were kind of into the 70s thing. And then
60s.
And then my wife's generation, the millennials behind us, they got into like the 80s gear.
Correct.
Top Sider shoes made a big resurgence about 8 years
Doc
ago.
Doc Martens.
No, Doc Martens. But short shorts are back. The men are wearing shorter shorts these days. You notice this?
I don't.
Maybe it's just me. A man in shorts is something startling to me.
You're always checking out the men's legs.
I can't help it because I don't wear shorts. Whenever I see a guy in shorts, I go, he's got shorts on.
Well, you won't catch me in a pair of long shorts. I'm wearing jams only.
Jams.
Maybe jams will come back.
They could. Do you remember? I don't know if people would.
Jams.
I don't know if people resonate with the term jams.
Jams were like.
Jams are music.
They were pretty much Bermuda shorts that went almost to the like the mid.
They were like mid shin shorts. Yeah.
We called those ports as well. Those are pant shorts.
We called them jams in the 80s.
Ports?
Though.
Ports. No, they're a little bit shorter than like a capri pant.
You had to be tough to wear jams.
Yeah, you had to be kind of tough to wear jams, I suppose. Sure. Prerequisite for the jams.
If you had, like, if you saw a kid at the pool and he had jams and in like a tail,
yeah.
You're like, ah, he probably wants to punch me.
I thought
like now you'd be like, that kid's all world.
The kid's awesome.
Tails never made a comeback though. Remember Tails, little rat tails? Yeah, kids had little rat tails.
So sick.
But those have not made a comeback.
That was big in the '80s.
Lions in the side, lions in the eyebrows.
It's still very big in the boxing community. You know, see a couple guys with rat tails. Everybody goes, he's a boxer.
There. Yeah.
Lines in the side of your head, like white guys doing like the double lines. Yep. You don't see that anymore.
You don't see that.
Could
that
I? Don't,
but that stuff will all come back.
It'll all come back.
You'll see Trump with lines in his hair.
What if Trump had a tail? He just grew a tail.
I grew this awesome tail.
Yeah. It's braided. It's
very
George
thin. Washington technically had a tail, right? Would he be the last president who had a tail?
That's what Trump would say. George Washington had a tail, too. Now let me tell you something.
He had a braid. Yeah.
I have a tail to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I could play that, out. Maybe. Is that a Madonna song?
Yeah, I don't know. We're not in a live to tell kind of mood.
How's your... Yeah. Girly techno music going.
Still into it.
Yeah, Zed.
Yeah, we played some Zed last week. Little Ariana Grande is in the queue this week for me.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Cool.
Whoa.
Sound like Pat Gallo, our 7th grade science teacher. Cool. Cool.
She'd be proud of you right now.
She couldn't pronounce cool very well because she was heavyset and her tongue pressed against the top of her palate.
Is that why?
I think so.
Cool.
Oh, really? Tell us what you really thought.
It's the reality of that.
No, she just hated talking to you.
See, that's how you...
She just was lazy.
I'm not making fun of her. She had... her physical anatomy prevented her from pronunciations.
Wow.
It's reality. Cool.
What are you, a linguist?
Yes.
No, you're not. You're a jerk.
Just a smart...
Conor McGregor's a linguist. Bill Murray's a linguist.
He's a linguist. He'll cut your tongue out.
That's his name as a WWF wrestler. The Linguist. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the ring, The Linguist.
That fight will come down to who's in better shape. That's what I'm going to say about that.
Right? I think it's going to come down to technical reasons.
It'll come down to who can box. Who cares?
Yeah. What happened to you? Oh, on my way to Michigan. Lovely wedding, by the way. I want to give another congrats to Lindsay and Tyler. Had a very nice time. Woo! Stayed at a Red Roof Inn. You ever been to a Red Roof Inn?
No. I can't say that I have.
No, I haven't.
Not missing much.
No. Do you give it any food?
No.
Vending machine?
No, not even. This is very motel-ish, like.
Oh, okay.
Got the room for, like, $85, like, the day before. Not a big deal.
Have you ever been that guy at a hotel that's, like, walking down the middle of the hall? It's, like, 2:30 in the morning, and you just see a guy, like, shirtless in his back and, like, in a pair of, like, shorts, just, like, going to get some ice, and you're like, hey, what are we, in your basement? What shirt at? You ever seen guys like that?
I have seen that.
Those are called motels.
Yeah, okay.
Not hotels, motels.
Are you that guy?
No, I don't do that. Clay,
you see a lot of
Clay, I did take the opportunity to wipe my butt with the bath towel, though, while I was there.
Oh, wow. Oh, with a bath towel?
Why not? When in Rome, right?
Wow.
When in Rome. When at the Red Roof Inn, always wipe your butt with the towels. Always do it.
I'm proud of you.
When are you ever going to get so pristinely clean?
That's bitching when you...
You never have to use that towel again. Never.
That would have been nice practice for you.
They smell like chlorine. The towels really did smell like hard chlorine. You know, they've been bleached very hard.
I'll bet.
And I get the blood out
of them. Well, yeah, exactly. They've wiped up murder scenes with those towels.
Oh, my God.
Sopped them. Just sopped them. Wow.
I walked out. When we walked out, when we got to the hotel, like, I pull up to that parking lot, you know, area to, like, pull in.
Sure.
And they're like, you're at number 38. Or something like that. Like, it was a horse stall, you know? Like, oh, there's 38. I guess just park the car in front, and then there's your key card right at the door.
Nice.
Okay, go in, look at the room. Like, this is fine. I can pass out hammered in here tonight and have a couple hundred vodka tonics and then drive back in the morning.
Sure.
Uh-huh. No big deal. I notice in the parking lot that there are all these, like, sort of derelict hillbillies sleeping in their car. Like they didn't have enough dough to get a room. Uh-huh. And they're like, well, I guess we'll just sleep outside the Red Roof Inn then. Uh-huh. You know, and I was, that made me a little bit nervous.
Well, you could always, they could always be on drugs as well.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
It's causing them to go unconscious.
Or a guy could have just ate a bunch of ice cream, been hot, and passed out.
They go, yeah, that's always a possibility, yeah, too. Mm-hmm.
Detective Bill right there. Oh, he just could have had some ice cream and passed out. I don't know, Andy.
Think he may
I just
be,
don't know where these people came from.
He might be OD'ing on heroin. He might have just had too much ice cream, mm-hmm, and passed out.
Officer Bill, he ain't drunk. He ain't too much ice cream.
Were you trying to portray me as a character in Andy Mayberry or something?
I was.
This is a classic ice cream sandwich overdose.
Oh, them fellas
Andy
over there.
Andy Mayberry, this is a classic ice cream sandwich overdose.
Just pour some hot tea.
Yeah. Don't mind them fellows over there. They just had an ice cream sandwich.
Why are we treating
St.
Joe's, Michigan, like it's, you know, deep Georgia?
It is kind of like that. Yeah. You see the townies, all of a sudden you go, oh, we're in the rural area of the world here.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They had a Steak and Shake, though. Whew, good
Delicious.
Stuff. Been to a Steak and Shake recently?
I've always been a fan.
I like it.
I haven't been in about 7 years.
Service takes time. That's one of their big mottos that it's set on the table. Uh-huh.
Yes. Because
I did order my burger and I go, okay, $5 cheeseburger. Hope it's here in the next 40 seconds, you know?
Uh-huh.
No, it took a little bit of time. A lot of care and patience, but I really enjoyed my burger.
They make you wait.
Chili cheese fries, burger, and a shake the next day before we jumped on the road to go back home.
Sure.
Couple of Advils. Boom, I was back to my old self within a few minutes.
Yeah.
I had car trouble on my way to the
store. No.
Oh.
No, what happened?
No good.
Tire? $20 tires?
No. What do you got, $20 tires on a car? What's wrong with you? Numb nuts?
Yeah, car trouble.
Yeah, car trouble. Yeah,
start
I did.
Start smoking on you?
No, I dropped the kids off at my mother-in-law's. Haley and I jumped in the car. It's mid-afternoon. I'm on the Dan Ryan Expressway heading towards the Skyway.
The Daniel.
Yeah. All of a sudden, this car just starts going.
Oil change.
I go, oh my God, something's wrong with the car. Uh-huh. And I'm like, we got to turn around. We can't go to Michigan. Bailing on the wedding.
Oh, no.
That was my first thought.
Uh-huh.
My other thought was, this is going to suck because I'm going to have to pull over and call AAA to come tow the car back to my house.
That's
now.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, to add, you know, insult to injury there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, I pull over in like the hood, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And I get underneath the car and I notice that the breastplate underneath the car, the sort of like the skid plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has been jarred loose and it's dragging.
Ah, right?
It's like a piece of metal that's dragging on the ground.
Cut it off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's going.
All right.
So I go, all right, I know what the problem is. I got to find a service station. Can't find one anywhere. Jump back on the expressway. I figure, maybe I can ride the storm out here and it'll just stop doing that.
Right.
What kind of idiot logic is that? Maybe if I just keep driving, it'll stop. You know?
Yeah. No.
It'll just burn itself out and stop.
Yeah, no. That's moron thinking. But keep going.
It'll mend itself.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's like a wound. Just let it bleed. Let it get some air.
It's like a tree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just needs a little air.
All right. So, yeah.
And my wife was like, I was like, I don't know what to do.
Couldn't you just rip the thing off?
I'm like, we got to go home. We can't do it. And she's like, you never wanted to go to this wedding anyway. You know, like, she's like mad at me.
And you
like
thought
I was...
to yourself at that moment, you're absolutely right.
I thought to myself, it did wound I thought it was going to wound my wallet a little bit, and I'm kind of tight on
bucks.
Well,
now your car problem's going to.
Now I got car problems, and now this wedding just got a heck of a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I pull over in Hammond, Indiana.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Into Hammond?
Beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, real beautiful if you like looking at Pep Boys and O'Reilly Auto Parts that go on for 100
that
miles.
That was great then.
The automotive capital.
I walk
of the
up to a Pep Boys or an O'Reilly Irish Auto Parts.
O'Reilly?
Yeah, they owe us $50 for that plug right there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I pull into an O'Reilly and I go, excuse me, miss. Excuse me. She goes, what are you talking to me? You know, I go, yes.
Oh, was she from Appalachia as well?
She was, yeah. Uh-huh. She was one of the McCoys, I believe.
She's from Appalachia.
Heard me, miss. Are you Appalachian? You know anything about auto parts?
You know anything about Japanese cars?
You ever heard of Honda? No, not piston Honda. My car.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I said, do you have a service station here?
Sure.
I figured most of them in Chicago do, right? They've got some kind of grease jockey that works in the back and comes out and he goes, yeah, what's up? You know,
okay.
Smoking a heater.
Yeah, know? Right.
Kind of dirty.
Yes.
Like Fletch's airplane mechanic.
Yeah,
character.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
No, that's just the ball bearings. Just ball bearings. Anyway, she says no, and I see this sort of
shoddy looking garage like across the street, R&H Auto or something like that. Nice. I'm like, is that a repair shop? You know, she's like, it's a tow truck yard or repair shops, a lot of things.
R&H, rifles and handguns.
Yeah, rifles and handguns too, right?
Yeah.
Hammond. So I go, oh, all right. So I walk over to the garage and there's a guy sitting there, you know, Hispanic gentleman, all of them were, right? Yeah,
great.
And I go, how you doing? I got car trouble. He goes, we're in the middle of lunch, man. I go, what? Because we're in the middle of lunch.
What time
was it? It was probably around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. Got a valid point.
Yeah, it's a valid point. I go, do you, one of you guys mind take a look? He goes, we're in the middle of lunch. I go, what time is lunch end? You know, he goes, 10 minutes. I go, okay, I'll go outside. My wife goes, are they going to look at the car? They're going to look at the car. I go, they're on lunch. She goes, what do you mean they're on lunch? I go, they need 10 minutes. She goes, So I'm smoking a cigarette in there, and I'm like, this, they're going to kill my car. Like, I'm going to get... I don't know what the damage is. I don't know what the damage. Like, they could have charged me anything because I'm a neophyte. I'm an idiot when it comes to cars, you know?
Uh-huh.
The guy could have gone and fixed my car and been like, give me $200, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I would have been like,
plus, you're in a crunch.
All right, here's $200. Let me get on here. You know? But luckily, he put the car on a riser and he just went, you know, and just like that sound effect.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Get a job as a Foley artist doing that. I do wrench sounds. You're very good with wrench sounds.
I do garage noises.
Michael Winslow's got nothing on me. Anyway, after a couple of they take the car down off the riser. The guy goes, that'll be $25. That's what he charged.
Hey, not bad. Oh, nice. All right.
Okay. Oh, it's like a load off my back.
Tightened a couple screws.
Yeah, right. He did. He took the piece and just bent it back and forth like 50 times until it just cracked off.
Yeah.
And then he just bolted it back up, all done. And I said, should I get a new piece? He goes, yeah. I said, what's that going to cost? $100. Go to your Honda dealership.
Uh-huh.
Done.
So then you get back on the expressway.
Miss the wedding.
What do you mean?
Got there too late. Missed the ceremony.
How long did this repair take?
About 25, 30 minutes. I had to wait for them to finish their 10-minute lunch.
So 35 total.
Yeah. All right, yeah, you missed the wedding.
You left Chicago too late.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
That's exactly what happened.
I left it right at the point where I said, we're going to get there right on time for wedding time. I don't want to be
going around.
You
would have missed the wedding regardless of your car problems.
Maybe.
Probably.
I made it, though.
You made it to the reception.
Yeah, I made it to the reception.
That's all that counts.
And our buddy Matt Mahoney, he was a little bit behind as well.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, because we missed like the shuttle bus. The shuttle bus from the hotel area to the wedding was like another 35, 40-minute drive.
Okay.
I was like, oh. So if you miss the shuttle bus, you're SOL, right? I was like, okay, so one of us has to drive now from the hotel to the wedding, which means one of us can't drink tonight.
Yeah.
Because we're in the middle of nowhere, and we don't know where we're going to go, you know? But thank goodness Mahoney's like, hey, I'll drive my car over there. You can just pick me up in the morning tomorrow, and we'll drive back and get it. And I was like, that's a pretty good plan. I'll do that.
And that's what you guys did?
That's what we did. But I put on a sport coat and, you know, your typical wedding attire, tie and everything. Mahoney rolls up.
Yeah.
And he gets there, and it's real hot out, right? It was like 90 degrees. He's got a pair of white linen pants, loafers.
Smart play.
And like a Banlon shirt or something, you know? And I go, what, no suit, nothing? He goes, who cares? It's 90 degrees outside. He goes, I can't do it. It's too hot. I go,
I would have done the same thing.
I was so jealous the whole night. I was like, I can't believe it. Why didn't I think of that? You know, because I've had armpit issues lately.
Really, right, we know, yeah.
Really sweaty armpit issues.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was on display, I'm sure.
Well, I wore a white shirt intentionally.
Probably went through the sport coat.
I got to look. Hey, you got salt stains on your sport coat, you sweating pig, you.
I sweat through everything. I sweat through all
Forgive
layers.
Forgive me, I was dancing a lot at the last
time. Some you don't know about me. I sweat through all layers.
Uh-huh. I was dancing to Zed into the night, you know.
Did you request that?
I should have. You got any Zed? No?
Hey, how you doing? I'm almost Zed 40. You got any like Zed?
Listen to some Zed in the middle of like a Michigan forest.
How you doing? Father Atu here. You got Zed?
Father Atu. Is that his name?
That's you.
Oh. Why am I Father Atu?
A father of two.
I thought you were referring to like, hey, I'm a Roman Catholic priest. My name's Father Atu.
You know, really, father of two, where are you from? Are you from
Zimbabwe?
Somewhere in Africa, perhaps? Are we going to get ourselves into a 37-minute sermon today?
Did you hear that father of two came over? He's teaching theology at Fenwick?
Oh, don't go to the 12:30 mass. Father of two says that the sermon's going to be taken forever.
Disco.
Father of two closes every mass with a Zed song.
With the Zed quote.
If our love is tragedy, why can't you my remedy?
Yeah. Something.
He just muffles it, and then he goes, Zed.
Uh-huh.
And Zed be
we're getting
you.
Way off the tracks
and the
here.
Altar boys go, Zed.
So ultimately, you had a nice
great
this
wedding. Great
yeah,
wedding. Father Atu okay. Said the service.
Good luck with that.
All right. Congratulations to
congrats,
the
Lindsay and Tyler.
Stay married as long as possible.
Anyway, I had car trouble on the way back.
Again?
Yeah.
Same flat?
This time, I get a thing that comes out. Now, I have a pretty up-to-date Honda.
Uh-huh. Sure. What do you mean?
Got a nice up-to-date Honda 2016. Yeah, what does that mean? Well, these cars are like robots now. They know everything.
Robots?
Yeah, it's like a robot. Whenever something's wrong with it, it just seems to tell me. It screams at me.
So what did it say to you?
It just goes ding, and it goes low tire pressure. Right?
Uh-huh. No big deal.
You got a nail in it?
I'm panicked already, right? I'm like, I can't get it.
Put some air in it.
That's what I did. I pulled over and put some air in it. Lovely Gary, Indiana.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
Been to Gary lately?
Nope. Smells fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Then I drove right into Hammond, East Chicago. Lovely scenery. Mm-hmm.
So,
back in the expressway.
Okay, so that wasn't really car trouble on the way back.
Yeah, but it's because
you have to stop, though.
I had to stop. I'm a nervous Nelly. I had to get off the expressway. I said, I don't want to get a blowout. It's super hot. It's 90 degrees outside. My tires are expanding. I've been going 77 miles an hour for about an hour and a half here.
Yeah.
I got to take a look.
Uh-huh.
Plus, I've never changed the tires on this car in about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. You mean they rotated them?
No, I've rotated them, but I haven't.
Yeah. I've rotated. I'm due for new
tires.
Should
be fine. You don't need new tires every 2 years, do you?
I don't know.
You got to look at the treads.
Cars.
Boys, you got to look at the treads.
I know. I need new tires on my car. Two front new ones. Yeah. That's
study fine. Your treads, all right?
Yeah. Father Atu, how long should my tires last? You know? Every 2 years.
Check your treads.
You know what I did? Mm-hmm. And maybe we can talk about it's hot, right?
It's getting hot.
It's getting hot. It's hot.
You gotta go to the pool when it gets hot.
Did Billy go to the pool?
And I took your daughter to the pool on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's always great people watching. Maybe we can talk a little bit. I think we have to take a commercial break.
Yeah, let's take a quick commercial break. The Hooli's Hooli will be back after these messages.
Have you been worrying about your mom and dad as they get older? Wish they could sell the house and move where life's a whole lot easier? Smith Village, located in the Beverly neighborhood, is a life plan community that's backed by the strength and experience of Smith Senior Living. Smith Village offers a full continuum of care. Your folks are entering a unique and special phase of life, shifting from worrying about their to-do list to exploring all the things on their love-to-do list. They're expanding their interests, learning new ways to relax, and making new discoveries. And while they're exploring their passions, Mom and Dad will appreciate the convenience of having dining, housekeeping, utilities, maintenance, social events, fitness classes, and wellness programming all covered by one monthly charge. For a limited time, take advantage of our 3-month trial stay program to experience life at Smith Village without the risk of an entrance fee. Ask about our new trial stay program by calling 773-614-6836. 773-614-6836 or visit the website at smithvillage.org.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Juries won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation.
or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
McCann's.
Yeah, you love doing that.
I do. You can rub it on your white skin at the pool, and it cures all.
Yeah, the pool.
Before the break, Bill was entertaining the audience of his tales from the public pool.
I'm back at it. Back at the public pool.
And how was it? What happened?
I took your daughter there on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was an adventure.
Yeah.
In what way?
That's a shout out to Del Close right there, who plays the teacher in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
What way?
Precisely.
Uh-huh. No, it's just like, what'd I don't know. See, I was going Billy? Off the I went off the slides, went off the chutes.
You know, so you have a real good time at the pool.
I did the diving board.
Yeah. Oh, like Napoleon from Bill and Ted's.
Hey, look, if you're going with... Yeah.
What a great shout-out. Napoleon Bonaparte from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure did like the water slide. They go to Waterloo, the park.
Yeah, that's correct.
Excellent screenwriting.
Bill, continue.
No, I mean, I was there with Patty's daughter, and she's 7, and you want to make it feel like you're partaking in the action.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was like, you got to... She was mad because
you're cool Uncle Billy.
She can't do a dive, so... Right. And I was like, well, this isn't really the kind of pool where I can teach you how to dive.
Yeah, it's a little too crowded. And yeah.
I'm like, we could go like over in this end, and I can teach you how to like lean off the side of the pool, how to like
it's the same thing,
how to do a dive that way. And then I'm like, well, then when you get all you need to do is just kick your legs underneath you, eventually. So we tried that a little bit, but she's tall for a 7-year-old,
very tall,
and they're not allowed in the 12 feet. Deep lanes.
Mm-hmm.
So the deepest lane that she can get into is like four or five feet.
Yeah, it's not gonna
so
work.
I'm like, you can't dive. I'm like, she's already like, the girl's like the tallest kid in her class. She's not a small kid for 7. So I was like, you're gonna crack your neck. Can't do that either.
Thank you, Bill. Good looking out. Thank
so she did take a fall though. I went into the bathroom for a minute.
Yeah.
To smoke.
And she probably
to have a cigarette. Charlotte, I'll be right back. I gotta have a smoke break.
Just blow it in the locker.
Uncle Billy needs a smoke break.
Nowhere to smoke around here.
She was with my friend's...
Isn't he a good uncle? He takes his daughter to someone into the pool and smokes?
Come on.
Yeah, go ahead.
And there's a lot of people. Well, I'll get into that. The people...
There's a lot of smoking culture people.
A lot of people smoking in the locker room at the pool.
At the public pool.
Right. You're right.
No, I was. She went through like some obstacle course. Is when I was walking out, I heard a guy be like, "Obstacle course in 5 minutes." Like one of the lifeguards, like the kids can partake in that kind of stuff. And she's like, "Obstacle course." And, like I heard her.
Yeah.
And I think she was talking to another little girl who Mike and Marit Steger's daughter Hillary.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Shout out.
I come back out. A friend of mine is like, they're like, hey, they were just looking for you. I think Charlotte fell. So she's in the first aid room and, hamming it up. I'm like, you're fine. She had like a scrape on her knee.
I was like,
we'll go get some ice cream. So we went and got our chocolate swirl. I had a vanilla cone, sat there, hung out.
Lovely.
And then went back in the pool for maybe another half hour and it was time to go. We did a solid 3 hours there. The people watching is amazing.
The people are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Honey, you want to go to the pool and show off your new tats?
Put on your Vegas suit.
Put on the Vegas suit.
Put on the suit that you wore at the pool in Vegas.
Put on your Planet Hollywood bikini.
Planet Hollywood bikini.
Put on the Planet Hollywood bikini. The one that you wore in Vegas. You got to call it Vegas.
Put on your Betty Boop gear.
Put on your Betty Boop gear. The one that you wore at the Hard Rock in Vegas. In Vegas.
When we met Sammy Hagar.
When we met Sammy Hagar in Vegas.
Vegas.
Oh, wow.
No, but you saw, like, people a little overdressed.
You know, it just amazes me at what people think that they can get away with. Because, you know, I'm like, there's children here. You know, like, there was a girl there that, like, I mean... She pretty much had a thong on, and it was like, you cannot wear that.
Just
come on. Yeah, and it was like, what?
I know.
And I was like... And she was there with, like, you know, some other guy, and, you know, I don't even know if they had a kid with him, but I was like, that is not appropriate for a public pool.
Everything's appropriate for a public pool.
Uh-oh, Mr. Flint has just made an appearance.
Wheelchair-appropriate pool, that is.
Hey, big dog.
Hey, big dog.
That guy who took his wife to Vegas is a big dog.
You can't wear that here, big dog.
Your wife can't show off her tats here, big dog.
Tats.
Can't show off her new tats here, big dog.
Yeah, there was the people watching. You know, and then I'm like, well, if it's this good over here, you know, I got to get down to North Avenue Beach and see what this looks like.
Clay, you are a man who has tattoos, a few.
A few.
When you first get them, do you say, boy, I got to go show these tats off. I got to go. I want everyone to see the tat. Is there a certain, do you wear clothing?
It's almost the opposite.
You're like, I got to hide my new tat.
Well, no, because it's not you don't get them for other people. You get them for yourself.
Yeah, but some people get them for other people, right?
Some people do.
I didn't get this tat for me. I got it forever. I got it for the world. I want them to see it.
I got it for Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
We got to talk about him,
too. There's somebody who's probably got a Rodman tattoo.
There's people with tattoos of everything under the sun.
That's just, yeah.
There's people with tattoos of cheeseburgers.
There's a guy out there who has a tattoo that says everything under the sun.
There's a guy out there who has a tattoo of him getting a tattoo.
Yeah, there is.
But yeah, that was some of the people watching at the public pools. That's a great thing. It's a summer feeling.
Bill, what's the moral of the story here?
Moral of the forest story is that flip flops.
Laugh at the weirdos at the pool.
Wear flip flops this summer. Yeah. Don't be walking around barefoot.
Yeah,
that's kind of, I noticed that.
Bill's summer words of wisdom from Uncle
Billy.
Watch
who you rub up against at the pool.
Yeah.
Wear flip flops.
Bye, Bill.
I gotta make one announcement before the show ends. We are in the home stretch here.
Yeah.
The 7th Annual Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week Kids Day Camp returns for its 7th big year to the Irish American Heritage Center from June 26th through July 1st. This unique Kids Day Camp at the Irish Heritage Center is for kids ages 4 through 17 and celebrates and explores the special connection between Chicago and Ireland. It's 5 action-packed days that are filled with traditional Irish music, singing, dancing, creating stories, lilting, folklore, bodhran bashing, all taught by the best musicians and teachers from across the U.S. and Ireland. Mm-hmm. The Irish Arts Day Camp welcomes kids of all music abilities, ranging from absolute beginners to those who have been playing for years. Those who have never played music before can begin their musical journeys during this week trying out tin whistle, violin, or the bowron. And kids who normally play classical music can explore the magical world of Irish music on their instruments. Camp activities are taught in fun-filled groups divided by age and ability. Kids will spend the week learning and preparing to perform at the camp's final recital for friends and family on Saturday, July 1st at 10 a.m. at the Irish Heritage Center. Hooli's Hooli listeners get $30 off one full Kids Day Camp day by entering the code Hooli Kids Camp. To find out more about the 2017 Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week Kids Day Camp and the Irish Music School, go to irishmusicschool.org or call 773-412-5082. Again, 773-412-5082. Take your kids over to that camp. My daughter Charlotte did it last year. She had a blast. I think she's going to do it again this year.
There you go.
And then you can take your kid to the pool when you're all done.
Go to the pool.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
We are reaching the home stretch here. If you've enjoyed the last hour of this program, you can
find... Which you have.
You know you have, right?
Uh-huh.
You love hearing about, you know, what was the priest's name that we came up with?
Father Attu.
Father Attu.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to go to church tomorrow, say a prayer to Father Attu. He's going to say, Hooli's Hooli, good for you.
Uh-huh.
Oh. All right. Ooh, bada bing, bada boom. I wrote it on the spot. Oh, my.
Wow. Yeah.
If you've enjoyed the past hour of this program and the silliness and horsing off, you can find archived episodes of the Hooli's Hooli in iTunes if you search Free Crack. That's FreeCraic. Or you can go to freecrack.com and find the show there underneath the Hooli's Hooli. This show is sponsored by Hibernian Transmedia. Stay tuned for the program following this one, The Crack, again.
Yep.
with Gino Cooney and Mike Houlihan. They tape that show every week at the Irish American Heritage Center on Thursday nights in front of a live audience at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Then stick around for the traditional Irish music sessions that follow that program. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And have a couple of pints in the Fifth Province Pub. That's where Bill Murray and his brothers decided to stay, from what I've heard, till about 1:30 in the morning.
Really?
On Saturday night.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Entertaining the group. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Bill, any final last words of wisdom in the final minute of the program here?
Yes. The Irish American Movie Hooli has picked its final film.
I've heard.
So it's going to be a film called The Dunning Man. It's a crazy, sexy story about an Irish American landlord in Atlantic City fighting off the Russian mob, crazed furies, and it's just a great film from what the people that have reviewed it. I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Yeah, we're excited. But, there's a lot of buzz around that one.
Yeah. And then the two other movies are going to be, oh gosh, it's still going to be presented by Two Gingers Irish Whiskey. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows that. The Young Offenders. It's a hit comedy currently breaking off box office records in Ireland and all over the world. The other one is a movie called Emerald City. And that's about Irish construction gangs in New York.
Yep. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
That's this summer. Thanks for listening to the program.
No, that'll be in September.
That's right, September. I'm sorry, Bill. Yeah. A blessing from Father Atu. I hope you all have a lovely week. This has been the Hoolies Hooli. Until next week, bye.